Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Hei. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur 19 lines from the top. You can estimate it's approximately a third of the way down the omid from the top. At the end of the line, Omar Rebbe Zera, Omar Rav Chiobar Ashi, Omar Rav. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let's glance at the side under our Noseh, our topic heading, where we've written Schitas Dag Litziro Afilu Lesoich Ka'ora. We're continuing in the spirit of squeezing out items from their liquid content. In this case, Schitas Dag is the squeezing out of a fish, Litziro, for its brine. Afilus losukorum indicates even if you're squeezing it into a bowl that's empty, as opposed to, or we'll say in addition to, that which we learned in our previous shiur of squeezing out fruits of their liquid content directly into food. We saw that in such cases there was much more leniency, as opposed to in the case of an empty bowl, there we saw room for stringency in certain cases. Here we will touch on in our sukkah, after making a reference to grapes, we'll then talk about fish. So our Gemara continues. Number one, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shel Anovim L'soich HaKedera Avoloi L'soich HaKa'ora. A person can squeeze out an eshkol as a cluster of anovim, grapes, into a kedera. A kedera is a vessel containing food. Avolo l'soch hakora, but not into a bowl. A bowl which is empty. Obviously, you're squeezing out the grapes, which are designed for their juice content, for their juice. And that is forbidden on Shabbos. Vidag litziro, one can squeeze out a fish for its brine content, afilu lesoch hakora, even into an empty bowl. Yosef Rav Dimi v'ko'omar lo lahoshmaitza. Rav Dimi was sitting and he said over this teaching, the point that we just learned about squeezing a fish for its brine content. Omar le Abaye l'Rav Dimi. You can see we have a long question coming up now with our long question marking. So Rav Dimi says to Rav Abaye, addresses Rav Dimi and says, Atun mishmei de Rav masni sun. You teach this over in the name of Rav, velo kashya l'chu. And that is fine. It doesn't present any problems for you. Anan, we, however, says Abaye, Mishmei de Shmuel, Masninon lo v'kashilon. We have this teaching in the name of Shmuel, and that presents to us a problem. Mi Omar Shmuel, Dag Litzira Filuso Hakeora. Would Shmuel have said this leniency that you can squeeze out a fish for its brine, even into an empty bowl, Vaho Itmar? It has been said. Kvoshim She sochton. Kvoshim are vegetables that have been pickled. They are been pickled in wine or in vinegar. Omar Rav. So here we're going to see a couple of shitos, but in the course of seeing these different shitos, we want to concentrate on Shmuel, and hence our markings will indicate that. So in dealing with squeezing out pickled vegetables, Omar Rav, legufon muter, lemeimein poter avol oser. Legufon means you want to eat the vegetable themselves, so you want to rid the vegetable of its brine. So if you're doing it for that purpose, it's mutter, it's okay. Rashi points out, legufo, im lechol akvoshim sochton mimashkesh etzof alehen vanivla bohen. If your interest is in eating the vegetables, these pickled vegetables, and you're squeezing out the liquid that's on them and absorbed in them, mutter lechatchila, it's okay as a first choice. Delo mefareku, it's not considered mefarek, which is a tolda, an outgrowth of the malacha of dosh. Hoyo v'lav lemashku tzorach, you are not interested whatsoever in the liquid. You're just interested in eating the fruit without all of the pickled juices in it. So that's mutter as a first choice. However, limei mehen, if you are squeezing them out because you want the liquids, the pickling liquids, so the Gemara says on this, poter aval osur, and Rashi says, poter, she'ein ze meforek, this is not a real malacha of meforek, she'ein hamashke ze yoytzim min akvoshim, shelo godal besoch, we're not talking about squeezing out liquids that are part of the vegetables themselves. They didn't grow the these liquids are a liquid that was an external pickling environment. Aval osur, it still is forbidden to lose, otu zeisiv anovim, in anticipation of one squeezing out olives and grapes for their liquid content, which would be, in fact, an isur d'oraisa. Continuing in the Gemara, ushlokos, this is squeezing out, shlokos are cooked vegetables, bein legufon, bein lememehen mutter, whether it's for eating them, the vegetables themselves, or for their liquids, then that's mutter. And Rashi says that in this there's a greater leniency, even lememehen, because this is not considered a mashkin when you're dealing with vegetables that are cooked, so the liquid is called an ochel, it's classified as an ochel. And it's therefore a more lenient issue of separating food from food as opposed to squeezing food from its liquid content. As we elaborated in our previous shiur, it's important to have the ability to classify things in halachic terms or halachic concepts and not mere translations. So that in this case, it's true that what you're squeezing out of the shlokos is a liquid, but it's classified as an ochel, a solid food. Continuing, and noticing that we've dashed underlined the name here, and this is because we're focusing on this, Ushmuel Omar, Echod Kvoshim ve'Echod Shlokos, whether it's pickled or boiled, Legufon Mutter, Lemehen, Potter, Aval Oser. Now, the case of shlokos is similar to the brine in the case of the fish. So, what is Shmuel telling us? That if you're squeezing it out, the shlokos, lememeyan, it's not allowed as a first choice, it's potter aval oser. It's an exemption from a Torah standpoint, but it nevertheless is forbidden. So, what we see, if we just compare the dashed underlining that we have here and the case of the dag litziro above, where where Abaye informed Ravdimi that that teaching of dag litziro afilu lesochikoro is mutter as a first choice, and Abaye says that teaching we had in the name of Shmuel, but here you see a parallel case where it's not mutter as a first choice. Omar Le, Rav Dimi, responds to Abaye and says, Ho Elokim, this is an expression that is a type of oath. Einai ro'u velo zar, mi pume derav yirmi yoshami ali. The pasuk that he quotes is, I saw it and I didn't get this from some stranger. Meaning, I heard this teaching from Rav Yirmiya, Rav Yirmiya mi Rabbi Zerav, Rabbi Zerav mi Rav Chiya Barashi, Rav Chiya Barashi may Rav. In other words, it was never said by Shmuel. It was said by Rav. So that Shmuel may, in fact, be more stringent. And as far as the teaching of Dag L'Tziro, Afilu L'Sochakor, that was never said by Shmuel. It was said only by Rav. Hence, there is no problem. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice the topic heading, Schitas Kvoshim and Shlokos, and this is touching on the points we were just mentioning, by the way. Now we focus on them, the squeezing out of pickled vegetables, boiled vegetables, legufan lemeimein, for the purpose of eating them or for the juices. The Mivneh that we have here highlights with a double underline the terms Kvoshim and Shlokos. Triangles that will follow represent three Shitos Amoroyim, Ma Mutur, Uma Oser. So given Kvoshim and Shlokos, Legufa Meimehen, what's Mutur as a first choice, what's not, and what's possibly an Iser Doraisa. So all of these factors will come into play. Gufa. Gufa represents a quote of that which we saw before that we now focus on. Kvoshim shesochtan. Kvoshim, we said, are pickled vegetables that you squeezed out. Omar Rav. Legufon muter. Lemeimein poter aval oser. We have a little note, and we do this from time to time in Gemara markings, where you have a sukkah like this with numerous variables. You can see there are three names. There are two topics, and then you have the issue of legufon and lemeihen. So if you multiply things, you have three names and two topics. That's six variables, and then lemeihen and legufon is double that, makes it 12 variables. So you have a lot of different things to keep in mind at one time. What we like to try to do is to see if any of the points are uniform. In other words, not subject to machlokes. So we will notice in this section that there's no machlokes by schitas kvoshim and shlokos legufon. According to everybody, that will be muter. So that makes the load or the burden much lighter, realizing that that's when you're dealing with legufon, it's allowed as a first choice in all the cases and according to all the shitas. So we now continue with that foreknowledge in the Gemara. So Rav says, the kvoshim squeezing the gufon is mutter, lemeimehen. However, if it's for the water that you want, potter aval oser. Ushlokos, when it comes to boiled vegetables, bein the gufon, bein lemeimehen, mutter. And this we saw above already in the name of Rav. Shmuel Omar, Echodze Vechodze, Shmuel holds, whether it's Kvoshim or Shlokos, Legufon Muter, Lemeimein Poter Aval Oser. So that Shmuel, you see, is more stringent than Rav, in that Lemeimein, whereas Rav said, in the case of Shlokos, it was Muter. Shmuel's case of Shlokos, Lemeimein is Poter Aval Oser, so he's a bit more stringent. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Echod Kvoshim Vechod Shlokos, Legufon Muter. Again, as far as Legufon is concerned, there is no Machlokes. Lemeimein Chayav Chatas. And here Rabbi Yochanan is very stringent and says that if you're squeezing out, whether it be Kvoshim or Shlokos for their water content, that's what you're interested in, that is a Torah level violation. And hence, Chayav Chatas means if you do it b'shogeg on Shabbos, you do it unwittingly, you would have to bring a sin offering. Let us point out that according to none of the Shitas, Schitas Kvoshim Lemeimein will be Mutter. Okay, Lemeimein, we don't find anyone saying that will be Mutter. With our markings, we try to illustrate this with a dot underline. Each time the word Meimein appeared, just look, notice it, and follow the word right afterwards. So you'll notice the first two shita said Potter, and Potter Aval Oser, and the third shita had it being Chayev Chatos. Well, with that in mind, we continue with a Tanaic source that will turn out to be a kasha on all three triangles. Meisve, sochtin kvoshim b'shabbos letzorech haShabbos avololu motzoi Shabbos. One can squeeze out the pickled vegetables for Shabbos purposes, just as long as you're not doing it on Shabbos for motzoi Shabbos, for Saturday night. You're not supposed to do things on Shabbos in preparation for the weekdays. This opening phrase is mashma that you can squeeze out the kvoshim lechatchila, even lemeimein, even for their juice content. V'zeisim v'anovim lo yischavim sochat chayev chatas. However, zeisim and anovim, olives and grapes, one is not to squeeze out, and if he does, he is in a Torah, he's at a Torah level violation. This source, therefore, is kashil Rav, kashil Shmuel, kashil Rabbi Yochanan. It is against all three triangled shitas we saw just before. The Gemara answers in standard Gemara character, Rav mitaretz l'tameh, Shmuel mitaretz l'tameh, Rabbi Yochanan mitaretz l'tameh. Each one explains the source according to their own opinions. And we continue using the triangle marking where we feature Rav and the way he views that source, the source that was introduced with Meisve. And likewise, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan follow. You can see it all clearly marked down. And the framed sections that follow are their respective understanding of the source of Sochtin. So we continue with Rav Mitaretz L'Tameh. Sochtin kvoshim b'shabbos l'tzorcha Shabbos aval lo l'motzoi Shabbos. Squeezing is allowed only for Shabbos itself, not for the weekday. B'amed v'amurim l'gufon. When is this permission? When is this leniency? That's if you are squeezing it for eating the vegetable themselves. Aval l'meimein, poter aval oser. And you'll notice how we've dashed underline that and a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow before, pointing to where Rav makes this point. Namely, that Lime Mehen, you don't have an absolute leniency. Rather, it's a rabbinic level violation. Ushlokos, when it comes to the shlokos, bein legufon bein lemehen, mutter. With our markings, you can always go back and check things out. Easily look back where Shlokos appeared under Rav, and you could see this is what Rav said as well. Shmuel mitaretz l'tameh. Again, our job here is to compare what you see in this rereading of Shmuel to what Shmuel originally said. So it says, Sochtin kvoshim b'shabbos l'tzorech haShabbos. Hu hadin l'shlokos, whatever we say for kvoshim, we will say for shlokos, that you can do a squeezing as a first choice, b'med v'murim l'gufon, only if it's l'gufon, where you're squeezing it for the eating the vegetable itself, aval l'meimein, poter aval oser. Note our little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where we've dashed under the line here, l'meimein, poter aval oser. Align that with the arrow above, and you can see that's what Shmuel said. V'zeisim v'anovim lo yischo v'imsochat chayov chatos. Rabbi Yochanan mitaretz l'tameh. Now Rabbi Yochanan, and of course he was the stringent approach, he says how he understands the original source, sochtin kvoshim l'tzorech haShabbos avalo l'motzoi Shabbos. Echot kvoshim v'echot shlokos. Bamed v'amurim l'gufan. So as a first choice, you can squeeze out kvoshim, provided you're doing it only for Shabbos, and provided it is l'gufan. Aval l'meimein lo yischot. V'im sochat. If he did it l'meimein, nase kemi shesochat zeisim v'anovim v'chayev chatas. Then it's viewed as if he was squeezing zeisim v'anovim. Our little star to the right-hand side of the Gemara text enables you to align this with the original Rabbi Yochanan comment. Omar Abchia Barashi Omar Rav. Devar Torah Eino Chayov Elo Aldrisas Zesim Vanovim Bilvad. from a Torah standpoint, the Torah assers the pressing of things that grow only with regard to Zesim and Anoven. Only there is it considered a malacha. But other pressings with liquid content oozing out is not the normal thing. It's not the normal way of dealing with the, with those other things. And therefore, it's not considered a malacha. It's not considered a Torah-level Shabbos violation. V'chein toni de'bei Menashe, Bei Menashe has a Tanaic source that parallels this. 2 points made here. Devar Torah eino chayav elo aljisa zeisim v'anovim bilvad. And our second point, a new point, v'ein eid mipi eid kosher, elo le'edus isha bilvad. We're at the top of Omid Beis, where the source ends with the words elo le'edus isha bilvad. And this halacha has to do with testimony that is said over by one who did not actually witness the event or the issue, but rather one who heard it from someone who had witnessed it. Call it secondhand testimony, if you will. It's called aid mipi aid. That kind of testimony is not acceptable except for the case of what's called Edus Isha Bilvad. Edus Isha is a very broad topic that is featured especially in Maseches Yevamos, which deals with a woman whose husband went away, and in order for her, if he doesn't come back, in order for her to get married, there would have to be testimony that he is dead. So the testimony of AVPA, that quality testimony, that type of testimony, will be acceptable only in the case of Edus Isha, this kind of testimony that would enable a woman to remarry. As the Gemara continues, a question is raised regarding aid mipi aid as acceptable testimony in the case of a bechor. A bechor is a firstborn male animal that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was given to a kohen who would then bring it as a sacrifice. If, however, it developed a blemish, then the kohen would keep it for himself. There was a level of suspicion amongst or regarding kohanim that they might impose a blemish in the animal so as to be able to keep the animal for themselves as common meat, as opposed to bringing it as a sacrifice and eating from it. So in the realm of a kohen that is in possession of a bechor, we need to know that he did not impose the blemish. Information regarding that matter gained through aid mipi aid testimony is the focus of our question. Ibaya laho, aid mipi aid le'edus bechor mahu. Looking at Rashi, on the second line from the top, le'edus bechor, bechor biyad kohen, kishenosnu Yisrael lo sholem, vira lo bo mum. A firstborn animal in the possession of a kohen to whom it was presented from an owner, a Yisrael, a non-kohen owner of the animal. And a mum, ira lo bo mum, a mum developed. Kaimel and bevechoros, we hold in Maseches Bechoros, nechshedu kohanim lahatil mum bevechor. That kohanim are suspect of imposing a blemish in the animal, which is strictly forbidden, of course. V'ein ne'emon loimar mum ze nofal bo me'elov. A kohen is not believed to say that the mum developed on its own. V'tzorch lahavi edim. The kohen will have to bring witnesses that say the mum did not, that the mum developed on its own through some action of the animal or whatever, but not because the kohen imposed the mum. V'amrinan hosom de'isha k'shero li'edu zu. Unlike general testimony, in this case, a woman will be acceptable to serve as a witness. So now we want to know, what about aid mipi aid testimony, where a witness comes and says, I heard from so-and-so that the mum developed on its own. So regarding that, Rav Ami says it's not acceptable, and Rav Ami says, shori, it's acceptable. And the Kohen would be able to then keep the animal for himself without bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. Omalei Rav Ami, Ravasi, Rav Ami, who is strict, says to Ravasi, Behot Tana de Bei Menashe, did not we see a Tanaic source from the Yeshiva of Menashe, Ein aid mipi aid kosher elo li edus isha bilvad, that only in the case of edus isha to is aid mipi aid type testimony acceptable, to say that the husband died, but not for anything else. So Rav Asi answers, emo li edus, the term edus isha doesn't mean that it's restricted only to the case of allowing a married woman to remarry as a result of death of husband, but rather take that term li'edus isha to read as follows: li'edus sheho isha kshera lo bilvad, to that realm of testimony that women are acceptable to serve as witnesses. And when you say the realm of testimony, that will then include edus b'chor. Rav Yemar achshir aid mipi aid l'b'chor. Rav Yemar accepted aid mipi aid testimony with regard to the firstborn and the blemish. Kori ole mereimar. Mereimar referred the following phrase to Rav Yemar, and he called him Yemar Shori Bukhra, Yemar, the lenient one with regard to Bukhoros. One can question whether that's complimentary. Quite the contrary. It's kind of a sarcastic name, Yemar, the lenient one. The Hilchasa, the Gemara rules, aid mi pi aid kosher libachor, that it is in fact acceptable. Chalos dvash, we saw in the Mishnah that chalos dvash, the loaves of honey that are from a honeycomb, the site where bees produce the honey, so it appears in its raw form is loaves. Riskon me'erev Shabbos, the Mishnah said that you squeeze them, you crush them from on Friday. V'yotzu me'atzman osur v'rebelozer matir. According to the Tanakhama, where the honey oozes out on its own, you cannot benefit from that, even though it oozed out on its own over the course of Shabbos. And Rabbi Elazar says, well, since it's oozing out on its own, you did the crushing from Friday, it's okay. Ki also Rav Hoshaya minahar da'o, also va'aisi masnisa biyodei. When Rav Hoshaya came from the city of Nahar da'o, he brought with him a Tanaic source that reads as follows. You'll note the great similarity to that which the Mishnah said. Here it talks about Zesim v'anovim. It doesn't mention Chalos Tvash, but it says Zesim v'anovim shiriskon me'erev Shabbos. You crush them on Friday. V'yotzu me'atzman, and the liquids continue to ooze out on their own over Shabbos. Asurin, the Tanakhama prohibits benefit from those liquids. And Ribbelozer, Rabbi Shimon, Matirin, and they allow. Focusing on a very superficial level, the difference between the Mishnah and this source would be the additional name, namely Rabbi Shimon, in addition to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shimon is also Matir. Omar Rav Yosef, Gavru Yisera also Lashminan. What's the purpose of this source beyond the Mishnah that we already have? Is it just to mention an additional name to add Reb Shimon to Reb Elazar? Omale Abaye, Tuva Kamash Malon. Abaye answers Rav Yosef, Tuva means a lot. There is a lot. There's a big chidush here. De'i mimas nisin, had I just had our Mishnah that spoke about Chalos Dvash, and Reb Elazar is Matir. Now, before we go further, the chidush is not in the additional name. The chidush is going to be on the item that is featured. Had I had just the Mishnah, says the Gemara, that feature the Chalos Dvash, Hava Amino, I would have thought, Hossam Hu, there in the Mishnah case, there is room for leniency. Deme'ikara Uchlo Besof Uchlo. Originally, it starts out as Chalos Dvasha, solid, and that which oozes forth is legally categorized as Oichel, as Ochlin, and not a Mashke. So it doesn't really undergo much of a transition. It starts off as Oichlin, and at the end it's Oichlin, and because of the non-radical change, there is room for leniency. Aval Hocha, but in the case featured in this source that we just quoted from, that Rav Hoshaya mentioned, the Meikora Uchla starts off as Zesim and Anovim, Ulevesof Mashke, and the end product is a liquid, is a beverage, is a Mashke, it's Yayin and Shemen, aim or low, because of the major change, maybe no one would allow that. Komash Malon, the source tells us that, well, Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Shimon are matir that as well. The Zesim and Anovim that were crushed from Erev Shabbos in the liquid that oozes out on its own, in addition to the Chalos Dvash, the liquid would be allowed to benefit from on Shabbos. The Mishnah. This Mishnah is a very important, a fundamental Mishnah that ties very much into the realm of Bishul. Bishul, cooking on Shabbos, was the focus of the attention of the first half of the third parak of Shabbos, but we've come pretty far into the Masichta at this point, and I'm sure many of you have noticed that different malachos are featured throughout the Masichta, different halachos of Shabbos. There are malachos and halachos, Bishul being one of these broad areas, broad in the sense of appearing in many different sections, as well as issues like Muktzah, which appeared, and Hoitzah, that appeared throughout the Masichta. So we continue with this Mishnah, Kol Shebo Bechamen Me'erev Shabbos. The expression Bo Bechamen means something that was cooked. From Erev Shabbos, it's a food item that was already cooked, Shorin Oso Bechamen B'Shabbos. You can have it soak in hot water on Shabbos. Rashi says, Kedeshe Nimuach, so that it dissolves or gets soft. V'chol Shelo Bo Bechamen Me'erev Shabbos, if something wasn't cooked up Erev Shabbos, then Madichen Oso Bechamen B'Shabbos, you can pour over it hot water on Shabbos, but not soak in the hot water. And this heter of madichin for these things applies to many food items. Chutz min hamaliach hayoshon v'kulis ho'ispanin. With the exception of these items, these are representative of a certain type of phenomenon. Shadochosan zuhi gemar malachton. The pouring of the hot water over them, in fact, makes them ready to eat. Gemar malachton. And when something is a gemar malacha, it's a final stage. It makes something, takes it from a state of non-available, not ready, to becoming ready. There we are stringent. Let us glance at the Rashi. Chutz min amaliach yoshon, it's dag moliach shoshana shavra. This is an aged salted fish. And kulis huispanin, shame dag, it's a type of fish, sheoichlin oisoi machmas milchoi al yedei hadocha. It's a salted fish that if you pour water over it, then it becomes edible. Al yedei hadocha bechamin. Vahanoch, these things, afilu hadocha nami, lo, we won't allow even hadocha shizehu gemar malachton v'havei bishul. That is their completion, and as such, it's classified as bishul, of course, being forbidden on Shabbos. For those of you who are relative new participants in Gemara markings, we've made this point many times, and it's a very important disclaimer for us to make, that one is not to make any practical halachic conclusions from anything that we say during our shiurim. We are learning Gemara based primarily on Pirush Rashi. which is an important first stage in learning halacha, but it does not represent a final stage. So you cannot draw any direct halachic conclusions from what we learn. But principles, certainly, you can learn from here. So the Gemara asks, Kagon Mai, that which was cooked Erev Shabbos, and you want to put it back to soak in hot water, what is a food item that you would do that with? Omar Rav Safra, Kagon Tarnagolta de Rebbe Abba. Rashi says, Kagon Mai, Havibo Bechamin, Shechoz Mishon Oso Bechamin. What is an example of that? Rashi continues, Tarnagolta de Rebbe Abba, Mivashlo. This is a chicken that's known as the chicken of Rabbi Abba. It was cooked v'shoroso yomim rabin b'chamin limchois me'olel v'oichlu l'refua. After it was cooked, it was then soaked for many days in hot water so that it would dissolve, and people would eat that for remedy purposes. The Gemara continues, v'omar Rav Safra zimnochado iklis lahosam v'oichlon minei. There was one time that I went there, where Rabbi Abba was located, and I ate of that chicken. The ilo Rabbi Abba de Ashkin Chamro bar Tlosa Tarpi. If not for the fact that Rabbi Abba gave me wine that was 3 years old, Isnasi, I would have had to vomit because of how disgusting this potion was. The soaked chicken. Again, this was chicken that was soaking for several days in hot water. Rabbi Yochanan Raik Mikusach de Bavloi. Rabbi Yochanan, it's noteworthy, he was from Eretz Yisrael. He apparently grew his whole, his entire life, he was in Eretz Yisrael. He was given Kusach HaBavli. Kusach Bavli is a reference to Bavel. It's a food item that's made with pieces of bread and sour milk. Rabbi Yochanan would spit out Kusach HaBavli when he would even just remember it when it was mentioned to him. Rashi says Kishizokro, it was so disgusting to him, this sour milk bread dish. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "V'leiruk anan mitarnegolta de Rabbi Abba." We spit out upon remembering or upon eating this chicken. Now Rashi points out we'll call it this strain or controversy. Rashi says, on Omar of Yosef, Koshehoya Be'enov, Shinim Osim B'nei Bovel, Al B'nei Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yosef, who was from Bovel, was upset with Rabbi Yochanan, who was from Eretz Yisrael, who was we'll call it denigrating, possibly, the Babylonian food, the Kusach HaBavli. So he responded by saying, Onu nami yesh lonu loruk mitarnegolte de Rabbi Abba shehem ochlim. Rabbi Abba was from Eretz Yisrael, and we would spit out that kind of food. The Gemara continues. The Oid Omar Rav Goza. We have to point out that Rav Yosef is telling us is that Kusach was not that disgusting to other people, even those people from Eretz Yisrael. It was only Rabbi Yochanan that had this reaction. So he says, V'od, Omar, and furthermore, Omar Rav Goza, Zim nocha de iklis lahosam, v'avdis kusach de bavloi. I once went there, and they made kusach habavli, she'ilu mine kol brichi marova. And they asked of me, of all the sick people of Eretz Israel, asked of me to have some kusach. So apparently the people of Eretz Israel liked the Kusach or found it beneficial for them. Kol Shelo Bo B'chamin, the Mishnah had mentioned those things that were not cooked before, you can madiach them. And then the v'chulei is chutz min hamaliach hayoshan shadochosin zui gemar malachtim, with the exception of the maliach hayoshan, who in whose case the pouring over of the water would be its bishul. Even though it's not an actual cooking in a pot on fire, it's the pouring over the maliach hayoshan, this old salted fish. Nevertheless, that's its gemar malacha. That's its completion. That's its bishul. Gemara asks, let us say someone actually did pour the hot water over the Maliach HaYoshan on Shabbos. What is the halachic status? Omar Rav Yosef, Hidiach Chayav Chatos. Rav Yosef says that is actual cooking, and therefore it's a Torah level violation for which you would have to bring a Korban Chatos if you did it b'shogeg. Omar Mor Brei Ravino, Af Anan Nami Tanino. We have this taught, in fact, in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Chutz mimuliach yoshan v'kuz hu'ispanin shadochoson zuhi gemar milachton shma mino. This is the completion of its melacha. Well, if you're calling it a melacha, so you're saying that the hadocha is, in fact, an isur doraisa, and hence chayav chatos. Yosef Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba v'Rabbi Asi Kamei d'Rab Yochanan v'Yosef Rabbi Yochanan v'Komenamnein. In this story, Rabbi Chiyo and Rabbi Asi are seated in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is menamnein, he is dozing off. Omar Leg Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba l'Rabbi Asi. So the two others who were sitting there said one to the other, Rabbi Chiyo said to Rabbi Asi, and you see triangles that appear on the side of our Gemara. We have under our Nosei Mivne heading, you can see we have a triangle featured. Sidroshel She'elos Mipne Ma. These are a series of questions that open up with the expression Mipne Ma, why is it, etc. So the Gemara will be characterized by these questions and their answers, and eventually there will be inverted triangles, which we feature as Dechiyosam al Yedei Rav Yochanan, the rejection of these explanations and alternative explanations, rather, by Rav Yochanan. So the triangles appear first with the point up, four of them, and then as the Gemara goes on, Rabbi Yochanan, arouses, and he responds to them, and that's what explains the four inverted triangles that continue to the bottom of the Omid. So now let's see what they are asking. Number one, Mitnei ma oifos shebebavel shmeinim. Why are the ophos in Babylonia fatter than those in Eretz Yisrael? Omale, so Rabbi Asi says, klach lemidbar azo ve'ereich shmeinim mehem. I'll show you in the Azor desert, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, birds that are even fatter than those of Bovel. It is probably noteworthy that this Gemara, as well as many other Gemaras like it, are probably hints to things that are of a deeper, more mystical nature. In Gemara markings, we don't generally engage in those explanations. We are here to present the simple meaning as Rashi understands it, as Rashi presents it. But for those who want further elucidation, so we highly recommend looking into the other commentaries that deal with these Gemaras. First and foremost would be to look in the Marsha. But we continue. Mitnei ma, number two, why is it that Moyadim Shebebovel Smechim, that the festivities in the holidays in Bovel are more festive than the way they are celebrated in Israel? Answer, Mipnei Shehein Aniyim, because they are poor in Bovel, and all year they don't have any sense of joy. through food and drink, and they have no rest from melacha. Therefore, all their festivity energies are focused on the holiday periods. Number three, Mipnei ma talmidei chachamim shebevavel mitzu yonim. Why is it that the Babylonian scholars are characterized by their fine clothing? Mitsuyana means literally they are decorated with fineries. Answer: Lefi she'enon b'nei Torah. Rashi says she'enon b'nei Torah kol kach lechabdom k'b'nei eretz Yisrael machmas Torosam. The Babylonian scholars are lesser quality Torah sages than the sages of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore to compensate for that lack, they gain their respect through the clothing that they wear. As Rashi continues to say, the clothing that they wear gives the impression that they are deserving of honor. So to compensate for the lack of actual personal quality Torah content, the clothing are another source or basis of honor that they could receive. Let us make no mistake about it. We are talking about Torah scholars. The point that Rashi is making is that they're simply of a lesser degree than those in Eretz Yisrael. There is a Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra which says very negative things about people who are not Torah sages whatsoever and wear the garments of Torah sages. That's already a different story, but nevertheless, the issue of garments as a source of respect and honor is something that the Chazal were quite sensitive to, and for better or for worse, these issues exist till this very day. Number four, Mipnei ma oivdei kechovim mizuhomim. Why is it that idol worshippers are mizuhomim? Mizuhomim is an expression that generally means filthy, dirty, odoriferous. And why is that? Answer, Mipnei sheoichlin shkotzim rumosim. It's because they eat these kind of creatures that are called shkotzim rumosim, which includes the whole realm of insects and different types of rodents and other reptiles. Isar behu Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan at this point wakes up. Omar lehu, dardiki. He says to them, children, I mean, referring to Rabbi Chia and Rav Asi, lo kach omarti lochem, did I not tell you in the past a posuk emor lechochma achosiat? And he explains, imboru lochadovar, if something is clear to you, with the same clarity of knowledge as one's sister is forbidden to an individual, omreu, then say it. If you have clarity, then say what you know. Vimlav, if you don't have absolute clarity, lo tomreu, then don't say it. Rabbi Yochanan, who was not fully asleep, he was dozing, but he heard. Minam name is an expression that you find elsewhere in the Shas, and the Gemara says it's a level of consciousness where you hear and understand what's being said, but in that state you can't respond. So he heard, but he didn't respond until now that he's Isar, he wakes up, and he says that what you were saying till now, the four points that we just made, aren't accurate. So they said back to him, Omrulei, the Lemo Lonmor Eze Mehen. So then you, Rabbi Yochanan, say to us some of these. Why are the birds in Bovel fat? That they shelo golu. They didn't go into exile. Shenemar, Shanan Moyov, Minurov, Vishoket, Hu El Shmorov, Ubagoilo, Loy Holoch. So this pasuk describes the peace and tranquility of those, in this case the pasuk cites Moav, who never went into exile. And as a result, the birds of Bovel are fatter. And here, regarding the birds of Eretz Yisrael, from where do you know that the birds also went into exile? Shtisanya, we have a Tanaic source that in fact teaches that thusly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nun Beis Shana is 52. Nun is 50. Numerical value of Nun is 50, and Beis is 2. So 52 years, Lo Avar Ish B'Yehuda, during the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the exile of Tzidkiyo HaMelech, there was a period of 52 years that no one even walked in the Yehuda region of Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, Al Hehorim Esau B'chi Vonehi, Me'ov Hashemayim V'ad Behemo, Nodadu Holochu. We wanted to emphasize here the expression Me'ov Hashemayim. Even the Ov Hashemayim, they wandered away. And the word Behemo, Begematria, Chamshin V'tartin Havu. If you take the Gematria, the numeral equivalent of the letters making up the word Behemo, you will find it adds up to 52. And in the Pasuk it said, from winged creatures till Behemo, for 52 years then, Nodudu Halachu, they weren't there. So even the birds went into exile. Omer Rav Yaakov, Omer Rav Yochanan. Kulon Chozru, Chutz Mikulis Ispanin. All the creatures of Eretz Yisrael that had gone into exile came back eventually, except for the Kulis Ispanin fish. De Omar Rav, Hani Majri de Bovel, Mahadri Maya Le'en Etom. The streams of Bovel have as their origin the waters of Ein Etam. Ein Etam was a well or a spring in Israel. It was a very high location in Eretz Yisrael, and from there waters eventually flowed to Bovel. The Hani, the Gemara says, the Kulis Kevon the Lo Shorir Shadre, since they don't have a strong spine, Lo Motzi Solik, they cannot flow, they can't swim upstream, so that when the exile took place and even these fish swam away, they weren't able, the kulis were not able to swim back, to return. This was the second point dealt with earlier. Why are the festivities of Bovel seemingly more joyous? Bovel wasn't subject to the curse featured in the following pasuk. V'hishbati kol mesoiso chago chodsho v'shabata v'chomo ado. Hishbati is to close, to Shabbos is to cease, like the word Shabbos, cease from creative activities. Here there will be a cessation of all joy, as the pasuk says. Uksiv chodshechem u'adechem sona nafshi hoyu olai l'torach. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu declares his disgust with our holidays. And the Gemara asks, "My hoyu olai l'torach." What does that mean? They were a burden or a trouble for me. Omar Belozer, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo dayon liYisrael shechaitin. It's not enough that the Jews sin lefonai in front of me. Elo shematrichin osi leida eiz gzerakosha ovi alehen. After they sin, then they trouble me, says the Almighty, to figure out what kind of evil ruling or punishment should I bring upon them. At this point in the Gemara, you see we've highlighted the names Rabbi Yitzchok and Rabbi Chanina. Both of them make comments dealing with the holidays. And we're talking here about the holidays in Eretz Yisrael, and we're referring to this we'll call it time of exile and curse that we just made reference to. So Amar Rav Yitzchok, Ein l'chol kol regel v'regel shelo bosa b'leshes v'tzipori. There wasn't a holiday that the king's army didn't come to Tziporin. The coming of the king's army is not a pleasant experience. V'amar Rav Chanina, Ein l'chol kol regel v'regel. There is no holiday shelo bole t'veria Agmon v'kanton u'baal zmora. There wasn't a holiday that these different forces didn't come to these governmental forces come to plunder the community of Tveria. Rashi explains in the wide lines under the Gemara, Litveria lavuz, to plunder, ulahatil aleim oil, and to place upon them a yoke. It's not that their intention is to upset their holiday joy. That's an outgrowth, a function of the curse that we saw before. Rashi adds, it's maybe obvious to most of us, that Tzipori and Tveria were places in Eretz Yisrael, the place that was the victim of the curse we saw in the psukim we read. Mipnei ma talmidei chachamim shebebovel mitzuyonim. This was a third point that was mentioned above. Lefi she'enon b'mekomon. Why are the talmidei chachamim bovel characterized by their decorative wardrobe? And it's because they're not at home. Lefi she'enon, right, b'mekomon. They're not at home. They're outside of Eretz Yisrael. A Jew is not at home, and that's a message that rings loud and clear way back from the time of the Gemara itself. And it's interesting to note the Gemara is the Talmud Bavli itself, and it's written, it was compiled outside of Eretz Yisrael, and yet they did not delude themselves into thinking that they were at home. They're not in their place. The Amri Inshi, the common saying is, "Bemaso shamoi." When you're bemaso in your town, when you're at home, so you are recognized by your name. Below maso tosvoi, and when you're not at home, so your kavod is dependent on tosvoi, on your garments. The pasuk says, "Haboyim Yashresh Yankiv Yotzisifrach Yisrael." Rashi, at the second line from the bottom, Haboyim, Oison Shel Yankiv, She Yavou Lebovel, Yisharshu Vyasu Tzitzin Prochem Letorah, Vesiata Asil Rabbi Yochanan. Those that come to Bovel, the Jews that come to Bovel, will make different decorations and flowers for the Torah. And Rashi says, "Siata Asi Rabbi Yochanan, the time Tzionim lav fishena b'nei Torah." This comes to support Rabbi Yochanan that the wardrobe fineries that characterized the sages of Bovel wasn't a big function of their lesser quality of Torah learning, as Rav Asi had said, "El lufishena b'mekomen," is simply because they're not at home. So that's how the Gemara continues. This pasuk that we just read from Yeshaya, Perikov Zion, Toni Rav Yosef, Elu Tamidei Chachomim Shebebovel, the pasuk that says that those that come to Bovel will Yotzitzu Porach, as they will, as we said, they will be decorated, is a reference to the sages of Bovel, Shoisin Tzitzin Ufrochim LaTorah, that decorate the Torah. What does that mean? That through their sharpness and Torah learning abilities, they offer more and more explanations and interpretations showing us their Torah learning capabilities and qualifications. And therefore, this supports, as Rashi said, Rabbi Yochanan's approach, and the only reason that Talmidei Chachamim Bovel are characterized by their exceptionally nice clothing wear, it's because they're not at home. When you're at home, so you don't place as much emphasis on the clothing. And one can easily relate to that on a very personal level as well. A person sitting at home doesn't clothe himself the same way that he does when he goes in public to public exposure, public functions. The Gemara continues, "Mipnei ma oivdei kechove mizuhamin." Why is it that the idol worshippers are foul? Shelo umdu al har Sinai. They were not present at Mount Sinai at the giving of the Torah. Shebishah, we continue at the top of Kuf Mem Vav. At the time Shebo Nochash al Chava, the Gemara relates that the Nochash in the story, we'll call it the story of the Garden of Eden with Adam and Chava, the Nochash that was featured in that story had intimacy with Chava. At that point, Hitil Bo Zuhama, he imposed upon her this foulness. So mankind, already from Chava, the first woman of mankind, had absorbed this foulness. Yisrael Sha'amdu al Har Sinai Poskazu Amosan. The Jews that were present at Mount Sinai enjoyed a stoppage of this foulness. Oyvikachavim Sholo Amdu al Har Sinai. Idol worshippers who were not present there, Lo Poskazu Amosan. The original Zuhama, the original foulness, continues to this day. Omar Le Rav Acha Bre de Rava Ravashi. Geirim Mai. How do you explain the phenomenon of Geirim? They were not at Har Sinai. Geirim are converts. They were not at Har Sinai, and yet they don't have this phenomenon known as Zuhama. Omar Le, so Rav Ashi answers, Afagav de Inu Lo Havu, even though the converts were not at Mount Sinai, Mazalayu Havu. Their mazal was. Their mazal, we'll call it, their spirits were there. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Es asher yeshno po imonu omeid hayom lifnei Hashem Elokeinu ve'es asher einenu po v'chulei. The Pasuk makes reference to those that were physically standing there and those that were not physically standing there, but their spirits were there. Upligo de Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. This approach that says, Lo poska zuhama until Sinai, is at odds with Rabbi Abba's approach. The Om Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana at Shloisha Doros Loposka Zuhama Miavosenu. The Zuhama that we made reference to earlier continued till the third of our forefathers. But that's it. It didn't continue till Sinai. Avram Hoylid Es Yishmael. Avram had Zuhama in him, and part of the Zuhama that he had was, we'll say, cast away or released through the birth of Yishmael. Yitzchok hoylid es Esav, and Yitzchok bore Esav, leaving Yankiv without the Zuhama. Yankiv hoylid yud beis shvatim shelo hoyu bohem shum doifi. And Yankiv, who had no Zuhama in him, gave birth or bore 12 tribes that had no dofi, no lacking in them. So they were Zuhama free. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.